throw the switch and let us begin the battle for the planet.
Change has come to America.
The truth out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
From a bunker in the state next to the home of the first place Chicago Cubs, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and I'm married to the ever hopeful.
That's right. Remember our motto, this year is next year.
It's always last year.
And today is Wednesday, July the 29th of 2009. Welcome.
Welcome to our bunker.
First place standing while it lasts. So
it's standing room only in the bunker.
That's right. Mainly because Sam is taking up so much space.
He's expanding. When I took him to the vet the other day, he'd gone in a year from 16 pounds to 22.3.
Beefcake. He's been working out. He's really buff.
Now, mind you, he was way underweight when we got him last year. But now he maybe is 1 or 2 pounds overweight.
Well, he fits right in here.
He does.
And
the sad thing is he's going to be taxed, all of his food, of course, because he's now considered a health risk.
Yeah, just like the rest of us who are just a little bit over the high side of the body mass index, BMI. Well, that's all right. We'll be happy and jolly together because, you know, we're all supposed to be jolly. Those of us are trying to be. So, yeah.
We do laugh a lot.
We do. But it has nothing to do. That's right. It has nothing to do with the extra pounds, though. It's
I used to diet. I mean, I used to be super skinny, and I starved myself, I mean, to be skinny because I'm not naturally that way. And I was crabby.
Yeah. I mean, being thin, you may not live longer, but at the very least, you will feel like your life is lasting a lot longer.
Exactly.
Because you're miserable.
I was hungry all the
time. Look at those people eating that pie. Oh. Well, by the way, speaking of healthcare, I just want to toss out something. One of the blogs that I read on a daily basis is the blog by Vox Day, who's a columnist for WorldNet Daily, also published author, some excellent fiction under the name Theodore Beale, which is his birth name. He's written, and he's got a new novel out that I want to read. But anyway, his blog, he's a thoughtful, sometimes deliberately provocative, I mean, like deliberately, you know, antagonistic. Mm-hmm. But he does make you think, and he points out something very interesting. If the government gets involved in nationalizing healthcare and thus then claims the right to determine, you know, to have a say in everything that we do that could possibly affect our health, because now our health also affects everyone else since everyone else is paying for it, a new study shows that people who divorce, people who lose a spouse, whether by divorce or through one spouse passing on.
Very stressful.
Is very stressful. And that those people then are 20% more likely to suffer chronic health problems, even if they later remarry.
So they're a drain on society.
They're a drain on society. So will the government step in and say, you cannot get a divorce? Unless
you're going to have to pay a penalty or an extra tax because you got divorced this year.
Right. Your premiums, your tax will go up because you divorced.
Well, they show that people who own dogs, who own pets, are happier. So if you don't own a pet, do you get taxed? You get a tax break if you own it.
You should.
Do we get to deduct him on our taxes?
If you're married and have a pet, you get off scot-free.
Woohoo!
So, of course, this is silly. The government's not going to do that because the government is not really going to say, you know, you have to stay married even if you're not in a happy marriage because it's better for your health. That's not going
to
happen.
They're not trying to improve the system. They just want a power play, and they want us to pay for the power play.
And again, remember at the heart of all of this that the government, all government systems, are essentially the domain of the enemy. Satan said, these were given to me, and I give to them whom I will. And I once heard a pretty smart fellow say that the family unit is the smallest battle formation in the spiritual war in which we are all engaged. And so the enemy is all about breaking up that family unit in any way possible.
That is why Sam is sharpening his claws. at this very moment.
That's right. So anyway, don't worry. Obamacare will not be posting, will not be imposing penalties on people who get divorces, even though.
Oh, you never know.
Even though that 20% risk of chronic health issues is the same probability that's touted by anti-smoking activists. Because if you inhale secondhand smoke, you're 20% more likely to have chronic health problems.
But you know what also? Not only if you own a pet, but also if you go to some sort of church regularly, mm-hmm. if you pray regularly, you tend to be healthier. You
That's
tend
right.
to live longer. So are Christians going to start getting a tax break? Let's see. We got a dog. We go to church.
Yeah. Not likely. They're not going to acknowledge that. But we'll just be smiling and laughing as they march us away.
And
that really ticks them off.
Who knows
so.
What?
Anyway.
Well, we got lots to talk about. I sent you a list. Have you checked it twice?
I have. And boy, you're right. There is a lot of stuff going on.
There's
today.
Something
as long
for
as we're
everybody.
Talking about health, we haven't talked a lot about genetically modified foods because it's hard to get any hard evidence one way or the other about the effects of GM crops on health.
And we were going to interview some bees about it, but we
can't find any. That's not true. We actually got plenty of bees out on the sunflower out front. But there's a reason, apparently, that there's not a lot of evidence out there as to what genetically modified crops do to you.
And even though I know the answer to it, what is that reason, pray
tell? Well, I was going to toss it to you because this is your field of expertise.
Well, the reason is because Monsanto says, no way, Jose.
Yeah.
You buy some of our seed, you're going to have to sign on the dotted line saying you're not going to use this for research.
Which is...
That's why there is no independent research mm-hmm. that can be quoted that any media organization is going to say, oh, look, XYZ Lab has proven that Monsanto yeah. or any GMO food is bad for you.
Now, there are some things here that just kind of make me wonder. Like, for example, there are Roundup Ready crops. I mean, crops that are resistant to Roundup, which is also produced by Monsanto, mm-hmm. I mean, stuff that's supposed to basically kill anything that's green and growing. Mm-hmm. But there are certain crops that are not, you know, that don't die when you spray it with Roundup. So you can spray the field, the weeds die, but the crops live. But you got to wonder, how do they achieve that resistance to a poison?
Well, they genetically change the seed.
Right. But what does it do to you? I don't know.
What's
and
it
I don't
doing
know.
To the insects What's to it feed
doing?
On it?
Right. What's it doing to the insects? Don't know. Don't know the answer to that. And again, if Monsanto continues to have its way, there will never be any independent, legally conducted research anyway. I suspect that there's quite a legal team at Monsanto enforcing this these contracts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've patented these things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you happen to accidentally... You know, be a farmer who's next door to a field and some of that happens to grow in your field.
Right.
I'm sorry, but you're going to get fined by Monsanto.
Now, you, on one hand, you can understand Monsanto's position. They put a lot of money into the research to develop these genetically modified crops. On the other hand, you made a good comment before the show today. This is sort of like General Motors. Or Ford or Chrysler telling Consumer Reports when they buy a car, you can buy our car, but you cannot conduct any testing on it to see if it actually meets the safety requirements of the federal government.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the same sort of thing is going to be happening with the H1N1 vaccine.
Right.
Not only can we not do research on it in advance to see if it even works, mind you, the research, the trial that's going on now mm-hmm. is to determine dosage.
They're not determining whether it works. They're just
no. It's only to determine dosage.
Huh. Okay.
That's why they want people of all age groups.
So they're not testing it for safety. They're just testing how much
they have to give to make it work.
Hmm.
That's a little scary, isn't it?
That is a little scary.
Oh, looks like that person didn't need that much. Oh, oops.
And
plus, they've got squalene in it, which is an adjuvant. An adjuvant actually increases the immunologic effect of a vaccine.
Let's talk about that, because you explained this to me the other day. And again, this is your field of expertise when you get into molecular biology. Squalene is what?
Squalene is an oily type substance that it's a precursor to a lot of steroids in your body. Your body has steroids all over the place. They're fat-soluble molecules that are made in the liver, and they are very important in a lot of different cascades in your body. A lot of cells rely on this. lot of tissues rely on this for building. If squalene is injected into your bloodstream along with an antigen, you are training your immune system to consider it evil.
Now, has this been observed in laboratory experiments?
In laboratory animals, yeah.
Okay, so they've done experiments then where they've injected squalene and the immune system of the lab rat responds by considering the squalene, which is a naturally produced substance.
I'm nodding my head, yes. Okay. It's a naturally produced substance. The problem is if you eat it, that's not a problem. If it's injected into your bloodstream, the body considers it an enemy, and it can't tell the difference from the injected squalene, same molecule, and what your liver produces, same molecule.
So what does the body do then?
It attacks all squalene, which leads to an autoimmune disease.
Oh, like arthritis or lupus?
And Gulf War Syndrome.
Gulf War, oh.
Yeah, there is evidence out there that squalene may have played a part because it was supposedly an adjuvant used in the anthrax vaccine.
Oh, so this other
than, let me tell you, squalene was a part of the hepatitis B vaccine series that I took back at IU. Had to take it. Otherwise, I couldn't work with patients. I had no choice.
And when did your fibromyalgia symptoms begin?
Within about 6 months of the third injection. This is going to be in all of the H1N1 vaccines.
And thanks to the...
thanks to HHS.
The ruling set up by Secretary Sebelius, the vaccine makers cannot be held liable for...
Exactly. Not only can they not be held liable for the vaccine, but also for antivirals. In other words, if you're given Tamiflu that has negative side effects, and it often does. In fact, over in England, they're suffering through that right now. But also, it might be, it was outdated. We're so sorry.
But you have no recourse. Sorry.
Exactly. Yeah. We had to use it an outdated because this is a national health emergency.
Mm. Now, understand that we're not anti-science. We are not anti-
No, I love science.
Health. You know, both of us... you know, go to doctors when we feel ill and we take what they prescribe and try to do our best to research on our own to educate ourselves about what, educate ourselves, you know, about what the doctors prescribe and our symptoms so that we feel informed as to what's going on.
And
so
we've not been, I have not at all been ashamed to take in research that I've found to a doctor and say, excuse me, have you looked in your journal lately?
Yeah. Because doctors are very busy. They don't always have time.
They are very busy. And you don't say it to them in a confrontational way, the way I just said it. You're diplomatic, but they're busy people.
Right. And to this point, we've been, for the most part, very happy with the doctors that we have used and had. So I'm just saying this just so that you understand that we're not coming at this as people who are saying, don't go to the doctors. They're all out to kill you. No, that's not it at all. That's not it at all. I'm just saying that we're dealing with a situation here in which there is a profit motive for those who are producing the vaccine and for the government to there were some studies that it's been a while since we talked about this, but United Press International did some investigative reports on the tightly interwoven network of high-ranking medical professionals and the government oversight that's supposed to keep them in line. In other words, like the military, where you will have guys responsible for certain weapon systems inside the military who, upon retirement, slide into jobs in the private sector, you know, very easily. And there's a lot of back and forth movement. The movement is even more pronounced in the medical industry, the pharmaceutical industry, where the guys who are responsible for approving vaccines and treatments for the government, may find themselves next year, next month, working for one of these major pharmaceutical companies.
Well, NutraSweet is a really good example. That was approved, and then shortly after that, what was the name of the company that Monsanto originally? It was Searle, and then Monsanto bought Searle. I think it was Monsanto. But anyway, yeah, it was Searle that the head of the FDA, was it, that went to work for him after it was approved?
We'll dig that up and put that in. Yeah,
sort of pulling that out of our memory banks here. That
Yeah.
Mine may be corrupt. I don't know.
That's right. Need to reformat. But we'll put a link to that in the show notes at PIDradio.com, just so you know, again, that we're not just pulling this out of thin air. And again, it's just not a blanket conspiracy theory that all are evil. It's, you know, looking at this and saying, you know, we understand and accept that H1N1 is a potentially grave health threat.
Whether it is man-made or not.
Right.
It is, I honestly do think that it is a threat. However, I don't think that this vaccine is necessarily going to help.
Right.
And it may indeed hurt.
Yeah. And they're just the yellow flags, caution flags that we're holding up there are just, you know, pay attention to what's going on here. Don't panic. Just pay attention to what's going on here, because these things are being fast-tracked, and they're being fast-tracked with the companies making them being granted a get-out-of-jail-free card if something should happen to go wrong.
Well, think about it. Seasonal flu. How many people get the seasonal flu vaccine and they get the flu?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a milder form.
Milder form. And we're talking, 30,000 deaths per year from just the regular seasonal flu in the United States. And we don't hear widespread panic.
And we've never had a health emergency over that.
No. You know, if you presented it the right way, the news, I think people would panic, you know. Did you know that there's a silent killer in the United States, one that claims 30,000 lives every year? Your neighbor may have it right. You could, if you presented it that way, people would panic and freak out.
Well, one of the stories coming out today from the UK is that it's being said, presented, that babies can actually contract H1N1 through the placenta.
Mm-hmm.
So pregnant mothers are now the first in line.
And on top of that, as we've talked about in the past, the government is not just taking steps through Health and Human Services to get ready for a potential health crisis because of H1N1. It's also lining up FEMA and the Department of Defense to assist in this.
Well, that's the word out there that Robert Gates has signed an order that because there is – we are in a national emergency right now. It was declared a couple of months ago. And along with that, if indeed there's an epidemic that breaks out within the United States – how they're going to define that, I'm not sure. I'll have to look. But if there are regions that have a lot of cases, then if necessary, the military can go in. And that goes back to George Bush. I can't remember the name of the order, if it was an executive order or an actual something that went through Congress. But there was, it may have been an executive order.
I think it was an executive order.
The states
right.
can't handle the problem, and it could be, a storm, it could be whatever it is, but it also could be an epidemiological problem that the government will step in.
Yeah. And the Defense Secretary Gates, as you said, is getting ready to sign an order that would authorize the military to set up five regional teams to assist FEMA if FEMA decides it can't handle the crisis.
Well, and we were talking a few minutes ago about how this really is a problem. I mean, here in Indiana, this couple of days ago, two people in the same family, brother and sister, both died from H1N1 down in Dillsboro, Indiana. It's not that far from here, not very far from where I grew up.
And I know that there's a lot of sentiment within the Patriot community that this is all a fabricated crisis. Well, I don't think so. It certainly may be one that's manipulated to the advantage of those within government that want to consolidate control, but I don't think that the crisis is being fabricated.
No, I do think that there's a disease out there. Now, again, whether or not it was man-made or not, I don't know. I think that there are arguments that it might have been, might be.
We need to trace, we should trace and go back and see if Dr. Nyman, Henry Nyman, has traced where the original cases broke out. I mean, there's, of course, the location in Mexico, near the large pig farm.
Exactly. It's curious today, though, originally that there was thought that patient zero was a little boy from that small town near the pig farm.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's being spun. No, it wasn't that little boy at all. It was a little girl who lived far, far away from there. Has nothing to do with the pig farm.
Nothing to
see
here.
I think it's LaGloria is the name of the town. That all those people who died there and got sick. No, it's not
coincidental.
Coincidental.
Yeah. Well, it
That American-owned pig farm.
The reason I'd like to see where it broke out, at least in terms of the cases here in the United States, because we've seen some interesting patterns with West Nile, for example, where it seemed to break out on the East Coast, in the vicinity of Fort Detrick, which is where the military's bioweapons research is conducted. So, I'm not saying that there is a connection. I just curious, just curious, because we, as we talked about a couple of years ago, know that the that victims of the 1918 influenza pandemic were dug up, and the flu strain was recreated.
It was isolated from that.
Isolated, yes. And recreated in the laboratory. And going back a year or two ago, you and I were saying, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
This is a disease. This is a virus that killed upwards of 20 million people back in 18 and 19, possibly as many as 50 million. And the percentage of the world population, of course, that time would make the death toll, if the case fatality rate is the same this time around, much, much larger this time around. So why do you...
Oh, especially since people travel so much. It's
right.
Far more
easier to spread this
now.
Time around. So why even play with something like that? Oh, well, we need to know how to defend against it.
Well, speaking of Fort
Eyes
Detrick,
rolling in head.
Speaking of Fort Detrick and Plum Island and places like that, wasn't it Plum Island that, I think I just read this today, that created the leishmaniasis disease that was carried by sandflies? They were playing around with sandflies. Leishmaniasis is rampant in the Middle East and Iraq, and leishmaniasis is deadly. It's these horrible boils that you get on your body, and the reason I bring that up is because just last week I saw a television program I watch every night. I go to bed early because I need a little more sleep, so I go to bed early and I'm lying there sort of getting drowsy, and I always watch these medical shows where they have these horrible things like worms in your brain or they're doing surgery. Well, leishmaniasis broke out in Texas.
Huh.
It is an Iraqi disease. It broke out in people who had never been out of the state, much less out of the country.
Any contact
with
soldiers
who returned?
It
was an outbreak that took place within a very small area.
Huh.
And it would just happen to be one doctor figured it out and took his patient to a meeting of dermatologists, and the dermatologists in the room, they all said, wait a minute, I've got a patient like that, and I don't know what's wrong with him.
Huh.
And they started adding it all up and figured out that there was a leishmaniasis outbreak in Texas. And sure enough, it had become endemic to that area of Texas.
And where did it come from? That's the question.
That's a good question, isn't it? The only sandflies that I know of that had that in the United States were in a lab.
Hmm. Of course, they'd never escape from a lab, would they?
No.
I mean, the signs are clearly posted. Flies, you may not leave this laboratory.
Well, I've told this story before at PID Radio. When I was studying molecular biology and genetics at Indiana University, I walked into the biology building one day, walked into class, and the first thing the teacher said is, nobody kill the flies! Everybody froze. We're all looking around for flies. Everybody in the building was looking for flies. You've seen the X-Files episode where the Frankenstein kind of
Dr. Polidori,
creates the pseudopodia that with the head, that little
feet
on their head.
Feet on their head, just genetically.
Those flies had feet on their heads.
No. And what's really weird is the one had Vincent Price's head.
He was over in the corner. Help me! So see, flies do get out, even if you post signs.
They
were all over the place.
Used a cage with bars that were closer together, I guess.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what we were thinking.
It's like something from a Gary Larson cartoon.
I know.
Bizarre.
It's one of my most cherished.
Well, and that's the thing that really frightened me and disturbs me still about the new... The laboratory that's going to replace Plum Island is going to be built in Manhattan, Kansas, NBAF, the National Bio and Agro Defense Facility, which is going to be used primarily to study many diseases, but one of which is hoof and mouth, foot and mouth. which right now is studied at Plum Island because it's offshore and there's a buffer zone called New York City between this highly communicable disease and livestock. Now, I'm not, don't know if you've ever been to Kansas, but I can tell you for sure there's lots of cows and pigs and deer that wander between the farms out there in Kansas and Missouri. Mm-hmm. And if something should get loose, which...
Or get into the water supply somehow.
Right, which foot and mouth is done at Plum Island. It can happen. One of the sites that was in contention for this NBAF was down in San Antonio, Texas A&M, a satellite facility for Texas A&M. And they were... Now, maybe it wasn't in San Antonio, but it was Texas A&M. Anyway, they were studying some infectious disease, and they put a test tube into a centrifuge. Wrong size tube for that particular centrifuge. Spun it, test tube cracked,
yeah.
The disease got loose. Nobody was infected. But that just goes to show you how simple, what a simple mistake can do, how easy it is to let something loose that shouldn't ought to get out of a lab.
Oh, it's very easy.
So
I'm lousy in a lab. It's a good thing I'm not working in those labs.
No, I mean, you should see what I do with a copy machine at the office. It's you don't want to know. I mean, the fax machine today is... So it's a good thing it wasn't a level 4 biohazard material. Anyway, so yeah, we could go on, but we've gone on far enough.
We could, but there's another story I just want to mention. We're way over. Look at that, 25 plus. There was a CIA code expert who was found dead in Palm Springs.
I knew there was one other story, and I was kind of riffing there. I was vamping while I tried to think of it, so I'm glad you thought of it. Yeah, that is interesting. No indication yet or no report that this was foul play.
Well, I mean, 64-year-old. He was hiking, I think, in an area that it's pretty hot down there.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what the weird thing is. There was another man who was found 2 hours earlier that has yet to be identified.
Yeah.
Another dead man.
And they say that there have been 4 bodies found within the last 6 months along this trail. Now, this is down in Palm Springs, and it is...
The Carl Lichen Trail.
A rather hot place to hike. In fact, the temperatures the day that he was out hiking were above 100 degrees Fahrenheit, which may explain why they went out to hike at about 3:45 in the morning, get out there when it's still dark and it's not yet into triple digits. But he left his friend because he was cramping up, and now is... has passed on.
Well, we should end on a positive note.
Yes.
If you're homeless in New York City,
you could be eligible for a fabulous vacation getaway.
As long as you don't come back. They're buying one-way tickets to the city of your choice for homeless families.
As long as they can show that they've got a family on the other end or some family, relatives on the other end, who will take them in.
I mean, how stringent does the paperwork have to be?
It makes you wonder. Like, yeah, that looks good. Get out of here. New York City has spent over $500,000 a year since 2007 and has exported 550 homeless families. Basically, what they do is they give the family a one-way ticket or one-way tickets for the entire family to leave.
Mm-hmm. One family went to Paris.
Paris, yeah. Family of 5 cost the city $6,300. But when you compare that to the cost of providing social services, I guess they figure that it
Here's what it was. They claim that that housing a family costs them $36,000 a year.
Yep. So by contrast, if they leave and get out of town, you've paid $6,000 to send them to Paris, they're $30,000 ahead.
Yeah.
And but this is interesting because this also comes back to what we talked about on the healthcare plan and government viewing people as, as dollars mm-hmm. and cents on a ledger. Now, again, maybe this is a novel and innovative approach to eliminating a homeless situation that for New York has got to be, just a huge burden on the tax base there. But
here are your tickets. Here, have a seat because we have to inject you with these vaccines before you get on the plane.
Yeah. Well, anyway, over half a
million
dollars.
Speaking
of
money, I have to add one more story.
Okay.
Arizona. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, this is a weird story.
We have heard complaints from the legislature from Congress and from all sorts of talking heads on television. How dare these people, you know, use their homes like
piggy
a bank?
Banks. Yes, they took out every last dime, and now we shouldn't bail them out because they got themselves into trouble.
Well, the state government in Arizona is going to use their buildings as banks.
In Arizona, the state legislature is considering a plan to sell the buildings to private investors and then lease them back.
Yeah, essentially they're mortgaging the buildings.
Yeah. Maybe do a, you know, home remodeling. Yeah. You know, take some cash for a vacation they've always wanted.
So who's going to buy it?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
Some Arab...
the same foreign investors who are buying up the Trans-Texas Corridor and the Indiana Toll Road and
I know. Well, McCary
the Chicago
is,
Skyway.
McCary's in trouble.
That's the Australian firm that was
Along with Cintra. Cintra's fine. But McCary's in trouble, and they're thinking about – they're trying to find a buyer for that lease.
Maybe we can get a really good deal on the Indiana Toll Road.
Hey.
Hey. That'd be pretty sweet.
We could set up a nice little bunker right in the middle of it.
That's right.
In the toll booth.
We'll get that. We'll get the Chicago Skyway, and that way we can drive up to Wrigley Field anytime we want.
And it comes back to the Cubs.
That's right.
We've gone to 30 now. We're going to have to leave.
That's right. Email us if you've got questions, comments, or suggestions. radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
And join us on Facebook and Twitter, and sign up for the email list. You can... send us a little note. I've got a link to that on my website. We have lots of things we want to share with you. Things we're planning for the future.
Yes.
Which is where we're going to spend the rest of our lives.
That's why it's so fascinating. And until the future, tomorrow, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Gonna step up to the microphone. Say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon. Get us out of here. Don't let the hard times get you down. Older days will disappear. There's a new day coming. A new day coming now. There's a former days and living in the past. God can do a new thing now in a kingdom that will last. He'll make a way across your wilderness like a river. A new day coming.
cutting-edge news and analysis on demand.
This is PID Radio.